This is CICK News. The city of Terrace currently lacks a dedicated withdrawal management facility. Medical detox services are limited to 2 inpatient beds at Mills Memorial Hospital, prioritized for alcohol withdrawal management, with additional acute care available through the emergency department. Beyond hospital-based services, the community relies on fragmented options such as outpatient programs. Northern Health has recently purchased a building at 4837 Keith Avenue to establish a new community withdrawal management facility as part of the provincial Road to Recovery model. This facility will require renovations before operation, with timelines to be determined following a full assessment and planning process. This represents the first dedicated withdrawal management site in the area, addressing this critical gap that previously forced residents to travel to Prince George for specialized detox services. I spoke with Sean Buitage, the mayor of Terrace, as well as BC's health minister, Josie Osborne, about the future of this project and the wait to get here. I also reached out to Northern First Nations Health Alliance and First Nations Health Authority, but was not granted an interview in time for this broadcast.
My name is Sean Buitash, and I am the mayor of the city of Terrace. I think there's a catastrophic need for this kind of help. Terrace has the second highest overdose rate next to the downtown east side in the province. And we've been working hard with government to push for more detox and treatment. And we're glad to see some movement on that with some of these projects. And the Red Road to Recovery is one of those pieces that we're super excited about.
This is an incredible partnership with First Nations and with the Northern Health Authority. We know that the toxic drug crisis and addiction issues hit and impact Indigenous communities disproportionately. And the ability to access care that is safe, that is culturally appropriate, that is designed and led by Indigenous people for Indigenous people is such an essential part to this healing journey. The partnership here has been an incredible journey, I think, for everybody. The vision of the nations and the leaders involved in the Northern First Nations Alliance is just, it's unparalleled. It's incredibly inspiring. And so to see the Northern Health Authority together with the province, you know, come to support this and be able to see this vision through, to have withdrawal management services available right in Terrace, and to be part of a bigger program, bringing Road to Recovery, a seamless journey for people that meets them where they're at on their recovery path from addictions, I'm just so thrilled to see this coming to the North, because the North really needs and deserves this.
Red Road to Recovery is located about 40 minutes outside of Terrace, and is a privately owned facility that currently offers 12 residential recovery beds. In addition to the new detox facility in the old UNBC building, this is a big investment in mental health services in Terrace. The two facilities serve different functions, with the Red Road to Recovery focusing on longer-term recovery and the new facility aimed at detoxification.
So what's happened is the provincial government has bought the UNBC building from themselves, so the Northern Health has bought it from the Ministry of Advanced Education, and they are going to renovate the building and turn it in and start by turning it into detox, which is, you know, we haven't had dedicated detox in the area. We've got little pockets of it all over the place, but not dedicated.
And so otherwise, typically people from Terrace were being sent to Prince George for...
Well, the problem is they were going nowhere and not being have afforded the ability to detox, because there was nothing for them. Because the reality is before you can go to treatment, you need to go to detox. So the role of us was we, just like the First Nations Alliance, was lobbying the provincial government to bring this in. We've been at this for 10 years, asking them for more detox and treatment in Northwest BC, because we have such a huge problem. We've got small pockets of detox, but we've never had a dedicated detox space, and this is what this is now. So it's like, you know, you might have a couple beds at the hospital, you might have a couple beds at Seven Sisters and things like that, but now we've got, well, we don't have it yet, but we're going to have these 10 beds, one location, team set up just for these folks.
These services are all close to home for folks that live in the Skeena region up in the Pacific Northwest, and that's a really important part of it. Different types of services will happen in different places, and, you know, for very good reasons, because as people go through that journey, they're at a certain stage of their healing and they need to be surrounded by the right kind of care, and together, maybe in a group setting with other people who are going through their journey, but together with them, and making sure that people get that, you know, the right care the right place at the right time. That's an essential part of road to recovery, making sure that that road is seamless for the person experiencing it, that people come to them to provide those services, not having somebody need to navigate all of these different services. You know, what waiting list do I go to? How do I get to this? What phone number do I call? Road to recovery helps navigate that journey for the person.
You touched on this about the toxic drug crisis hitting Northern and specifically for this conversation, Indigenous communities the hardest. So how will this investment specifically reduce overdose deaths in the Skeena region?
This is an important part of the fight, really, against the toxic drug crisis. It's a ever-evolving crisis as new contaminants are added into a toxic drug supply. It's everything about separating people from that toxic drug supply, helping them get onto alternatives that are safer for them while they stabilize, and then getting them into treatment so they can deal with the root causes of addiction and being able to help them on that journey. This, the harm reduction services that are available to people and that are delivered by, again, lots of nonprofits in the Northwest region. An important part of this too, people need to be alive in order to access the care. Keeping them alive is essential. And that's why, again, this withdrawal management facility is so important, because it's a very serious thing to medically withdraw from a severe addiction issue, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol, and being able to have that happen under the supervision of trained professionals, of clinicians, is really critical on that path to healing.
And what's the impact that you anticipate seeing in Terrace, in one, in support for this, but also two, just for the health and outreach into communities that are often also too more affected by toxic drug crisis?
I think the beauty about this is it's, with Paris being the hub, it's something that's going to be available to communities all around. You know, we all know that there's a higher level of overdoses in the north than there is in the lower mainland. So the need to have detox immediately at the hands of people was super important. And that way folks can detox, and then we can get them off to treatment, and even if they're in other locations, even if they're not in Terrace, because the big piece missing was this. And if you don't have detox, you can't get people to the supports until they do detox. So having that in the community, it, to me, is life-saving. I think the one thing I'll say about the community is I think for the most part, the community has wanted this, and they've wanted this for a long time. So I think the community has been very, very supportive and is excited to hear that this is coming. The question is how long is it going to take to get here? Because the building is going to have to go through some serious renovation. And as we all know, that it was needed yesterday, it wasn't needed today, and it's not needed tomorrow. But unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit down the road until we see this happen. Because I think the government has funded a few things and supported a few things in the world. They just kind of all blended together. And the Northern First Nation Alliance has been a real strong advocate for all of this stuff. And they've had their fingers in all of these pieces. So they have their fingers in the Red Road to Recovery. Like I said, they have their fingers in the Bronze Island, and they had a play in all this as well. So they've done a ton of work for everybody, and we're really grateful for the Northern First Nation Alliance and all the work and lobbying efforts they've done to help bring this stuff to our communities. We're really appreciative that the government has finally stepped up and is trying to move forward on this. I don't, in the whole scheme of things, I don't know if this is enough, but it is a darn good start, and you need to start somewhere. So I'm really glad that we're going to see dedicated detox come to Terrace. I hope we can still see more treatment in the Northwest, because the reality is there's so many people in the need in the area. And, it would be nice to be able to help service all these communities, or even if we're seeing more detox and treatment in the communities outside of Terrace, because it's needed in those locations as well. We just need to see more in the north, because, everybody is impacted by this crisis. Somebody knows somebody, and it's a really sad, catastrophic thing. And it would be nice that we can save more lives than we're saving right now.
Yeah, this new facility, we've announced the acquisition of a building. We have an address. There's some renovations clearly that still need to come underway to meet the healthcare facility standards that we have. And so those timelines will be determined once Northern Health completes a full assessment and a planning process. But we know that programs are important to be delivered right now. And the mental health and substance use community programs available for assessment and treatment and referrals for adults still exist. There is an office in Terrace, and they can be contacted for this. There is a Northwest Outpatient Withdrawal Management Team, the NOW team, which is a new outpatient withdrawal management team that launched in Terrace as part of Road to Recovery. That's available for people. There are still dedicated beds down in the Island Health region that offer withdrawal management for people from the Northwest. But of course, you know, again, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to move towards a facility in Terrace, is so people can stay close to home. There are also services like the Adult Acute Withdrawal Management Unit in Prince George that supports clients who are withdrawing from drugs and alcohol. So finally, I guess I'll say too, the work that is underway right now on 4 new withdrawal management beds at the Seven Sisters facilities in Terrace is also happening. And those are some interim beds. Those are expected to be operational in 2026, so this year.
The new Seven Sisters mental health facility in Terrace has officially just opened. Staff and residents moved in on May 5th of this year. This expanded facility nearly doubles the previous size. It also provides long-term rehabilitation and recovery programs for adults with serious mental health challenges. This facility is part of the Mills Memorial Hospital replacement project.
Is the this building and this site, is this also supposed to be open and operating this year?
No, it's going to take a little longer than that. And again, Northern Health needs to get into the building. Yep. That's currently occupied by UNBC. So those programs will leave. Northern Health will take over the building. They'll be able to undertake that assessment that needs to be done for planning the renovations, making sure it meets that healthcare facility standards. And once we know more about what those timelines are, we'll certainly be letting the community know, because I know people are anxious to see this program up and going as soon as possible.
Thank you to Mayor Buitosh and Minister Osborne for taking the time to speak with me today. High school plays. Do you think of high production value, revolving floors, and teenagers commanding a room of people with their gravitas, professionalism, and dedication when I say those words? Well, at Smithers Secondary, yeah, you kind of do. But this season, with the retirement of venerated drama teacher Heather Lee, it looked like the students wouldn't get an after-school drama club at all. This program has been celebrated provincially and recognized for its hands-on, zero-hierarchy approach. And due to that legacy from Miss Lee, this year, the students and some very dedicated adults put on a massively challenging show called Hadestown Teen Edition. The story of Hadestown weaves the Greek mythology tales of two pairs of lovers, young Orpheus and Eurydice, and Hades and Persephone. In this epic, we follow Orpheus to the underworld to retrieve his love from Hadestown. I sat down with two students to talk about how this happened this year and what they learned by scrapping together the cast, crew, and impressive set to make this show happen against all odds.
I am Lucia.
Hi, I'm Fiona. I played Fate One.
Very nice. And Lucia, what's your role?
I was the stage manager.
How many years have you been stage managing?
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this year was a little bit different. Things ran a little bit differently. Talk about the show that we saw this year.
I mean, we did an incredible show called Hadestown, and I'm surprised we pulled it off, honestly. There was a lot of, it's very vocally challenging. The acting's hard. The choreography's hard.
It's technically challenging. We had a lot of really cool set pieces, and we had some moving parts. We had a revolve. We had some fog, which wasn't actually foggy, it was like water, I believe. Vapor.
And some fake fire. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool that we got to pull all that off.
Because you've been involved, you've both been involved for a long time in theater. How is this year different?
So at the beginning, we were all very scared that this wasn't going to exist. Mm-hmm. And then it started existing, and then it was kind of uncertain, and I was like, we're not going to be able to pull this off. And then Mark was like very positive and very encouraging, and he was like, we're going to make this work. And then he basically brought everybody back. So we had Heather Lee back, we had Mike Dugan Smith back, we brought Shelley Goble back to do costumes, and basically like every other mom and dad who's ever helped with theater. We had a smaller cast, yeah. And there was no grade eights, which is different.
Yeah, and we had some grade nines. It was originally offered as 10 to 12. And we went through, I would say we had a lot more choice in what we wanted to do this year. Normally, Heather picks the musical because it's really hard to have 60 people pick. And also, to cater something for 60 people is a lot harder, but since we were a much smaller cast, we got to pick, basically, to we narrowed it down to three musicals, and then Mark picked from there.
Did you feel like that you had more agency this year? Like you had more say this year, or?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think since we didn't have, Haley Allen is normally our choreographer. Haley Allen's normally our choreographer. And since we didn't have her this year, we were really doing a lot of our blocking and choreo by ourselves.
Okay. So how was the time? How did the timeline feel this year?
I want to say it felt like we did more at the end. And I know we always feel like we plateau a bit and then everything comes together. But this year especially, it felt like the last week, everything came together really quick.
As like the stage manager, it was kind of interesting because usually Heather does it all. But this time we had teams of people doing all different portions. So there was like a lot of like communication that needed to happen in between people, which worked out pretty well.
And there was a sweet moment between you on stage, and that's when she said, "You got this." And that was about you stage managing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I would add. Just like how everybody really made this work. All the adults, the parents, the us, the actors, like the techies, and everyone really just like worked their hardest to get this super incredible thing done, and we did it. So I'm very proud of everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
After speaking with Lucia and Fiona, I caught Perry Rath, the Smithers Secondary art teacher, for a brief moment to celebrate these quiet, often shy students who seem to shine when on stage.
How were you involved in Hadestown this year?
I helped out with painting parts of the set, so I was kind of managing the stone wall and the stone floor parts of it mostly was my thing. So yeah, a few of us community members and artist types put in some time to help bring that atmosphere to the set and match the vibe of the show, and it was great.
It really felt like a big community effort this year, and the sets were amazing as well. How did it feel kind of knowing that the responsibility almost felt a little more shared, right? Because it almost didn't happen to see it happen. It had this like real energy about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a distinct and kind of unique year for that. I know that at the beginning of the year, when the conversation started to happen for this, a lot of students as well were doubtful of like, what's it going to look like? Is this not quite the same as last year? You know, we're all thankful for, you know, like Nikki Skuse, who wrote this grant to try to bring money in for this from the Witsinkwa Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same as last year when Miss Lee was still a teacher here, but people rallied. And I think a lot of the people involved right at the beginning, like in the fall, were like, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. I don't know if it's going to be the same. We're going to have to really dial it back. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it didn't feel dialed back to me.
Yeah, not at all.
It was really emotive and declarative.
As a teacher, and when you're watching students that you know and you see their progression, what are you thinking when you see them up there just like not only just working hard but achieving something that they've put so much work into?
As a teacher, it's just always a different level of pride when I see students pouring themselves into something that they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I'll see students up there performing who in real life, they're withdrawn or shy or something like that. Some people you know right off the bat, oh, these are drama kids.
Yeah.
But others are like, they're different when they're themselves. And then when they get to take on the role of a different character, they just embody that role. And that allows them to explore a different part of like their alter ego of like what they could be. And so I'm always super impressed as a teacher when I get to see it in the audience, sit in the audience and watch and see different students flourish in different ways. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.